Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance. It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I'm not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard. You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Back to Speed Talk. God, I love this pre-prep show. We got Tom Wolf, Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner. Kenny's doing the double duel back here today. He's trying to make us sound look good.
Sound good?
Wow.
Can't what sound good. Sure as hell ain't going to look good.
I don't know how them guys can drive 500 miles, man, because I'm telling you, I put in like 300 today, and I'm all over the place. But anyway, we got a good show coming up, and we'll talk about that as soon as I say. Check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Tom, he's already smiling.
And I was going for some more root beer.
Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. And Snapper, what you over there?
Instagram at SpeedSnapThis.
Question!
Yes?
How often do you check that?
I check it occasionally.
You sure as hell don't check it today, because I'm part of your stupid followers, and you still haven't put any more
pictures
on there.
Good, then I'm up to three.
Oh, that's going to help him get some more people. Stupid followers.
Well, they must
be. Good
job,
Kenny Barr.
It's me, him, and his kid.
Well, that's all right.
No.
No.
Who's your third?
Silent Ninja.
Oh, well, good. That don't count either, see?
Well, wait a minute.
But here's the deal, Cliff.
All right, here's the
deal. I'm on Instagram. I am a follower of Tom's. He has to do what?
He has to go on Twitter.
No.
I've held up my end of the bargain.
You gotta become a Twitty.
You chicken.
Dude, if nothing else, don't ever do anything. Just look at the stuff that comes up on race day.
You can follow Cliff and I.
Sure.
You don't get enough of us once a week.
Yes, I do.
Wow, a lot of love in here today.
I'm a member of Instagram, brother.
Yeah, where are you at on Twitter?
KennyBar52, the same place I've been every week. You should have that figured out by now.
Radio Speed Talk 2 to number 2 here, and we'll try to get up through this fodder here. Great show coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about IRL and NHRA. We've kind of been neglecting that a little bit. A couple of good races going on down there. We're going to talk about, well, I don't know what you want to call it. I actually wrote a blog, and I titled it Blowing Smoke, parentheses, Up Your Tailpipe. I was kind of disappointed with what we were expecting to see.
He wanted a big fat fight. I read his blog.
I'm with him. I was kind of disappointed at Martinsville, too. We build this thing up into all these payback
and then nothing.
Is this racing or is this WWF?
Well, who cares?
WWE or whatever it is now.
Dude, racing is fighting.
Yeah.
You're fighting for position?
In your car, you know, if you use your car as a weapon, move people out of the way.
Oh, here we go, man. That's a whole other show. We got to be a little bit better timeline today. We are actually going to be blessed with the presence of a young kid, 16-year-old Eric Jones, is going to join us in the second segment. And he finished in the top 10 with Kyle Busch Motorsports in his first race in the Camping World Truck Series. We'll talk with him. Great kid. Great driver. I'm kind of excited about that.
I am too. Interesting to hear what he has to say. I know you've been fortunate enough to talk to him a couple of times. Both times I happened to be doing something else. Wasn't goofing off, though. I was really working. It was down in Winchester doing something. So I've never really met him other than just say hi to him and breeze by. So it'd be fun to talk to him, get his perspective on the truck race, see what he thinks about horsepower, and we'll...
Well, I'll talk to him for as long as he wants to talk.
He's
probably not going to care much about the Toyota as long as he has a ride.
Well, yeah, and he's at the Rock this weekend, too.
Yes, he is. So. I talked to his handler, Stephanie Bigelow, which the Bigelow family is huge in racing around Indiana.
It's safe to say Stephanie's a friend of the show.
Yes, she is, very much so. And when I called her on the last minute, she said, for you guys, anything. So
there you go.
See, we got fans.
Well, see, we were – that's because we give her that great big build-up because she is only – little sidelight on Stephanie. She's only the third female to ever win a feature race at Winchester Speedway. One of them was Sarah Fisher. I forget who the other one was. And Stephanie. Now, that's a big accomplishment, no matter what division you're in.
And luckily,
really cool.
We got to be there.
And we were there.
Yes.
Yep. And I happened to get to interview her on the track. She was still giddy, 15 minutes out of being out of the car.
Oh, man, it was a great day to watch. There was some good racing that day, too.
Yes, it was.
So there was some awesome racing. And we'll be going down to Winchester eventually. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the truck race and what happened there. And we're also going to talk a little bit about what we're all of us are going to be going to Indianapolis, down to Lucas Oil to watch the CRA Super Series get kicked off. And I know there's more shows of that. Top Speed Fabrication.
Modified Series.
Yep, they're going to be there. Kenny's going to be doing some announcing. Tom and I are going to be out grabbing some interviews, and Tom will be getting some pictures, so looking for a great time. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the track, and then we got Kenny's Do You Know.
Yes, and it's going to be interesting. It might even be a two- or three-parter. This might stretch, depending on how many questions you guys have, and or I just think the topic is, and I'm not saying this because this is, you know, I'm blessed to do this segment, fortunate enough to. It's interesting. It's kind of cool. It's about the history of, well, I'm not going to tell you. You just have to stick around and listen to the whatever segment we plug this in at.
That's why we left you in charge of that, Kenny, because you really do come up with some pretty good subjects.
You're going to like this. You're going to like it, especially.
All right, good.
This is not about road racing, I hope.
No.
Speaking of road races, what a segue, right? The boys of the IRL Izod Series was down at the Alabama for the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. Did you guys get a chance to see that race?
No, I did not.
I got to tell you what, man. And I even wrote a blog about this race, too. But I also said at the bottom, I'm actually becoming a fan of road racing for IRL. I'm still not a NASCAR, never will be. And I just want to say that.
Foolish child.
Yeah, what else is there? Anyway, this is the fourth year of this running. Penske has dominated. He went 3-0 the first 3 years. Helio Castroneves won the first one, and then Willpower has won the last two. Well, I'll tell you what, there was some pretty cool stuff here, and you guys will kind of enjoy this too, but Ryan Hunter-Reay from Andretti Green, or is it just Andretti now? There is no Andretti Green. I think it's just Andretti now. Come out of nowhere, led 53 laps and won. Scott Dixon, for the fourth year in a row, finishes second. And they always talk about the bridesmaid, and they were getting on his butt about that. And I'm thinking, you know what? And Kenny, tell me if I'm wrong. Would you rather be a bridesmaid at a race, or would you rather be a bridesmaid going into the race, last race of the year, with the points lead and lose 2 years in a row?
I'd rather be in a points lead, by far.
But to lose it and become a bridesmaid.
I'd still rather be in the points lead and then finish second every year. My sponsors are going to be happy.
Right.
That means my ride's going to be around. And that means I'm this close to winning the whole shooting match.
Right.
So I don't have too many changes to make, or maybe it's just racing luck or racing bad luck. It depends. But, no, I'd rather be, I'm probably weird. I'd rather be the bridesmaid and be close rather than just a one-time, one-hit wonder kind of thing.
And I agree with you, but they were in Dixon's face in interviews afterwards and just saying some really stupid stuff, and I'm thinking, you know, it's a race. He's going to get that race. And I got to tell you this, as bad as Honda ran at this race, he actually did a good job and finished second. So a couple things I want to hit about that. Joseph Newgarden with Sarah Fisher Racing, you talked about her.
That's the other girl that won in Winchester. Thank you very much. I knew that would come out.
Who?
Sarah Fisher.
You did say Sarah Fisher, but you couldn't remember
who's
the
that
one.
I did?
Yes, you did.
I'm the oldest guy at the table, that's all I'll say. My CRS is really kicking in.
But her driver, Joseph Newgarden, got his first top 10. He went at number 9. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to Charlie Kimball, 4th. And, you know, that's pretty cool to see him coming up. And A.J. Allmendinger went into his first pit stop and blow up. He stalled the car out, so he ended up 19th and was crying about that and all that. But and James Hinchcliffe had some issues out of the race early. That's all I'll say about that. Any comments you guys want to add?
Nothing for me.
All right. NHRA.
This is driving me nuts.
Out Las Vegas. Hey, I know you're going to find it.
Either I'm texting somebody, I'm going to find out. That's what I'm doing.
Top Fuel again. Tony Schumacher beats out Antoine Brown. And I'm telling you what, man, I don't know what it is about those guys over there at Schumacher Racing, but they are just phenomenal.
experience, money. They got their heat together. They don't panic. What else you need to know?
They just they got it on.
Who's the third girl is at Winchester?
I'm working on it. I have connections. I got 364 connections in this phone, and I think there's only one dude in this whole bunch that knows it.
The cool thing about the Spencer Massey was in the finals or the semifinals, so they had all three cars. The funny car, we had Cruz Pendergrass, 1-1, and he beat out Courtney Force, who beat out Matt Hagan, and Cruz beat out Alex DeGioia. I figured we'd get a comment out of Kenny, but he's too
busy. I'm trying to learn.
See that. Yep. Alan Johnson knocked out Erica Enders Stevens for the Pro Stock.
Okay, I'm done. Why would you want me to comment on that?
I don't know.
Other than she's married to Jesse James, and they'll have some funky-looking kids if they have them.
Well, I know between us and Marquis, we had a conversation about that, and he was all...
I was leaving that alone.
Yeah, I know.
I probably shouldn't have texted what I texted or tweeted what I tweeted or whatever, but you know...
I'm not going to say it.
Was the First Amendment right? I can say anything
you
or whatever. Bet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'll just check and stretch my First Amendment rights out there a little bit. Ooh, I better go look see where I'm. This is kind of fun doing double duty. Oh, we got 2 minutes yet.
Yeah, we still got a couple minutes. So.
Okay.
But anyway, IRL is going to be in 2 weeks, NHRA in 2 weeks. And, you know, the cool thing is, and we'll kind of preview this since we got 2 minutes left, we finally are going to hit our first night race for NASCAR this week, being on Saturday.
Truck race is going to be on
Sunday. Yeah.
Because we'll be busy. Oh, yay! Oh, no. I got to get up early. I'll fall asleep at the end of that. You guys can tell me about it on the way.
I'll say you get your NASCAR nap in between anyway, right?
Well, if it's Saturday night, it'll be NASCAR nap. And I'll wake up Sunday morning going, I got to leave.
Wow. Anyway, Texas, the big motor speedway coming up. And then, of course, as you heard Kenny talk earlier, the trucks are going to be the next day at another short track in Rockingham. I love Rockingham. I'm glad to see him pop some races back there.
My daughter only lives about an hour and a half away from that Texas track.
She going?
Hadn't said anything. I'll have to ask her. Probably not, since she didn't say anything.
Well, if you need to find out, because if she is, we need to get some in-pit reports.
Oh, she'll do it.
I know
she knows more about it. It's funny. She knows more about racing than, 95% of the guys that hang out. When she starts dropping info on them, they all go, how do you know? You're just a girl.
Well, my daddy's been around racing for a long time, right?
Yes. Yep. Her and her grandpa.
Well, all righty. Well, folks, when we come back, we're going to talk to Eric Jones. Don't forget, you can catch us at RadioSpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Anything you guys want to add before we close out and talk to Mr. Eric Jones?
You're listening to... Oh, we're not there yet?
Oh, well, no, we'll go
no,
right
we
ahead.
No, we still got 30 seconds.
No, we don't.
That'll give us more time with
okay.
Eric. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk to Eric Jones, and then after that, we'll talk the NASCAR and the Camping World races, and then obviously we got Do You Know. I'm looking forward to that now that Kenny says it could be a three-parter.
Yeah, it could be. Hey, Tommy, hey,
yeah.
Okay, are we going to bet?
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. We've got Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf, Cliff Tanner coming at you. Go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check out any and all shows, interviews, anything that happens. Learn about some racing. Give us a buzz or email and let us know how things are going. And you can go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Excuse me. Sorry about that, guys. And we'll talk about Twitter and all that here at the end. As promised, we brought on the young man, and I'm going to call him that. I know he's only 16, but if he can get in a car or a truck and race the way he does. Eric Jones, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, we always enjoy having you on. We've been watching your career. And, you know, I got to tell you, I was really impressed with the way you drove at the Camping World Truck Series down there in Martinsville. And I know you love short tracks anyway, but a tremendous job. Talk about your day a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, thank you. It was pretty fun from the start. You know, we didn't get to test the Martinsville. I ran some laps at Caraway before we went there. So we ran about 100 laps of practice. That was the most anyone, just trying to get a feel for the place. And the truck was pretty good right off the box. And, you know, we didn't make many adjustments. We made more adjustments to my driving, just not getting in, overdriving the corner. Once I got the corner backed up, it was pretty good. We made a few adjustments, moved out, made a mock run, and we weren't quite where we needed to be on the mock, so we went out for qualifying, didn't qualify where we wanted. We were just too tight in the center and couldn't really perfect qualifying from where we needed to be. But we started the race from 19th and just kind of ran a real solid race all day, tried not to root and gouge too much from the beginning, and, you know, really were aggressive when we thought we needed to be and tried to stay out of trouble, and I think we did that well and ended up around the top 10 there at the end. And we were running sixth at the end, and we got moved off the bottom to come to the white flag. So that was kind of a disappointment, but, you know, coming in, still getting a top 10 off in ninth was a good day for us, and happy to be able to finish the race with the truck in one piece, and we'll head to Rockingham here. That was the big thing, getting the truck in one piece.
Especially your first show. Go to heaven, you bring her back in a big ball, and they're going to raise an eyebrow and go, ah, where's that contract at? Now, you did a nice job, Eric. I was very impressed. I watched as much of the truck race as I could, and you and the other young gun, Chase Elliott, really did great strides for the youngsters in NASCAR. And I'm still, you drive well beyond your years, much more mature than a 16-year-old, because I remember when I was 16, I had trouble getting a driver's license and couldn't parallel park. So we're pretty proud of you here at Speed Radio Speed Talk. You're doing great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, we have a good team at KBM, and their Toyota Tundras are really strong every week. And just, you know, I feel like every time we go to the racetrack, I know we're going to be good off the truck. So definitely don't have to worry about chasing the truck during the week. And, you know, that's a good feeling, going to the racetrack every time. And just looking forward to Rockingham so much. I'm just hoping this week hurries up and gets by so I can get to that racetrack.
Question for you, since you are young, and I'm not picking on your experience by any stretch of the imagination, but when you get with a new team like KB Motorsports, like you are now, and how much input do you actually have in the setup of the truck, or do they have a baseline that has worked in the past for somebody else that's been in the truck and worked for it from there, or do you tell them any preferences that you like, or just how does that work out for you?
Well, you know, I know a lot about the late model stuff in the super late model world, but coming into the world of the big car stuff, you know, I know somewhat of how the setup's working at stuff, but the big spring stuff I'm not too familiar with. So, you know, they have obviously Rudy, my crew chief, you know, he's been around, he's really smart, and he really knows what works. So I let the crew chief do his job and try not to, you know, tell him what I think he needs to do. But if I really have a suggestion that I think is something important, I'll say it. But, you know, I just let him do what's always worked for him and go from their baseline. You know, we ran pretty much the same setup that Denny had there when he won the past year, and you know, it was pretty good, so we didn't really have to change much. And every time we go and use their baseline, it's always been really close. So I don't have a ton of input. I just, you know, give them feedback whether I like it or not, and really haven't told them any preferences. Just the biggest preference is put the fastest setup in the
Duh, yeah.
Well, Eric, I want to kind of go back to the race, and then we're going to go back to that because Kenny's got a question. I got a couple questions about that as well. But talk about the race. I mean, you got all the way into fourth, and I got to tell you, you did have one of the cleanest-looking trucks out there. How did you avoid or talk about, you know, where maybe your short track experience kept you out of getting in any big messes out there?
Yeah, I think definitely my short track experience helped. And I had a really, really good spotter that weekend, and he did a great job of keeping me out of trouble and just let me know what was going on ahead of me and trying to give me some notice ahead of time what was happening. So I really just tried to take it easy, you know, didn't force the issue, didn't like a lot of guys were, and didn't throw any big blocks or anything. You know, when you get into that stuff, people start bouncing off the curb for running into you, and you end up back up in the fence. So I just really tried to, you know, not force the issue too much in the first 200 laps, and then for the last 50, we really started to get a little more aggressive.
Did you have any oh crap moments?
I think there was one. There was a truck that was diving in on the bottom, and my spotter said that there was one diving and looking to the bottom, and I happened to look over and set my spot mirror on the corner, and I saw he was really diving in on the bottom. He was about to hit the curb and bounce up into me, so that was the only one I had to take a little evasive action, move up out of the way for him. But so that was the only real close call we had.
All right, if you just joined us, we're talking to Eric Jones, the 16-year-old driving the number 51 Cowboys Motorsports truck last week, and he's going to be driving, from what I understand, 5 races, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But I want to go back, kind of tell us a little bit how you got hooked up with Cowboys Motorsports. And I guess the first thing I thought of when I saw this was, did you have a bet with him down at the Snowball that if you beat him, he was going to put you on his truck?
No, I didn't have a bet with him like that or anything, but no, you know, I got to know Kyle with him racing the super late models, and I talked to him a few times before that, and then I ended up testing his late model at National for him at the fairgrounds when he was traveling back and forth between Talladega that weekend. I was just helping him keep up with the track and not letting the car fall behind where with the track the way it was changing all day. So I really got to know him that weekend, and we had talked previously with him about running some late model stuff, and it never really worked out in the end. So we've been in touch with him before, and then after the Derby, you know, obviously we got in touch with him, and you know, with them lowering the age the way they did in the Truck Series at the end of the year for the stuff under a mile, we are really looking for an opportunity to run some trucks somewhere, and going down to the Derby definitely didn't hurt any matters.
Okay, so when they're bringing you on, from what I understand, you're definitely racing 5 races, possibly 6.
Yeah, we're running 5 races, 2 Martinsville, 2 Iowas, and Rockingham. And then we have a tentative 6-1 on the schedule right now that should be decided here in the next couple of races.
Kenny, he was going to ask a question earlier when we went back, and I apologize for that.
Only that I know Hamlin drove that truck last year. Did he give you any advice or tips on the truck before you got into it, or were you guys pretty much separated by back brace, so to speak?
Yeah, no, Kyle got me hooked up with Denny the night before we went to practice, and I talked to Denny on the phone. He had a lot of great insight on the racetrack, just obviously winning as many races as he has there, and he's really, really, really fast there every time he gets there. So he had a lot of great insight for me and a lot of great tips, and then during practice he came over and talked to me during practice, and I asked him a few more questions, and he was easily able to answer them. So, Denny was definitely a big help that weekend, just getting to accelerate the learning curve.
So was he friendly, or was he still mad from the couple weeks before?
No, he was pretty friendly, but I think he was a little upset that he wasn't going to be in his race car that weekend.
Sure, I could understand that. Well, Eric, you know, again, if you are successful, is there talk of possibly signing up for some more races this year, or is this just a trial period for you?
Unfortunately, you know, the truck, I can only run such a limited schedule with my age the way it is.
Didn't know that.
All the races are pretty much still, Kyle's going to be running all the other races. So really the only other race that is on the schedule right now tentatively is going to be the 6-1 that we are hoping to do.
Okay. Are you doing any other racing then when you're not racing the trucks?
Yeah, actually the trucks are a really small part of our schedule, being only 5 races right now. So we're going to be running a lot of super late model stuff, hopefully as much as we can, because, you know, I really like to run the super late model stuff. That's probably the most fun car I have driving. And we're going to try to run some ARCA stuff. Hopefully we can get that worked out with them lowering the age. They had a couple tracks on the bigger tracks. Hopefully we can get something worked out for those.
That was my next question. Are you with the ARCA, did something happen because of the age thing, or...?
What was the question?
With you, it's mentioned possibly running some ARCA, and you mentioned age in the ARCA, or did I misunderstand you?
Yeah, they lowered the age for Pocono and Kentucky down to 17, so we're hoping to be able to run those races.
So when do you turn 17, son?
May 30th.
Oh, happy birthday a month and a half early for the guys at Radio Speed Talk.
Thank you.
Well, Eric, we like to, you know, get to know a little bit about you. You know, I know your history, and Kenny knows a little bit about your history, but there's folks out there that don't. Kind of explain to us how you got started in racing and who your biggest pusher was. It's kind of going to, you know, kind of surprises some people. Tell us how you got your start.
Yeah, I started back when I was 7 years old racing quarter midgets, and actually my mom got me into the sport, really. We had a few friends playing t-ball that said they were racing these cars called quarter midgets, and we should probably go check it out. And we did. I thought it was pretty cool. I always liked race cars and racing, so getting into it, you know, nobody really ever forced me into the car, and I just kind of got in, and it really clicked for me, and I really enjoyed it. So we just kept racing more and more. By the time I was 9, 10 years old, we were traveling all over the place every weekend of the summer, so, and even some of the winter, and just really turned into more than a hobby for me as I kept moving up. And when I was 12, I moved up to a street stock out at Owosso Speedway and ran the season there, and had a lot of fun running a stock car for the first time. And you know, jumping from a go-kart quarter midget to a street stock at Owosso was pretty big for me, and a big learning curve getting into a big car like that. So after that, when I was 13, we decided we wanted to move up to the next level. Didn't really know what it was, but I would have to be looking around one day and saw a series called, you know, late models. We were looking at late models, and I found the ASA late model series and thought, you know, maybe we should check that out. And we checked it out and ended up running the full season for them, and went down to the Snowflake at the end of the year and ran that and finished 7th, I think, or something down there. And just kept moving forward. And the next year, we had a really good year in late models, and the ARCA deal came about for that year after, and started running we ran the 10 races there for Venturini, and had some good runs, and didn't end up coming out with the win like we needed. Just really 2012 was a tough year for us. If we wouldn't have capped it off with the Derby win, it really would have been one of the worst years in my career personally for me, just not being able to win that year. But the Derby really turned one of my worst years into the best year. So funny how that works sometimes. And now, you know, with the trucks lowering the age, we're happy to see that. And now we're running trucks this year and some late model Marcus stuff again.
Well, Eric, there's a couple more questions I got to have. We got to go into a break. You might hold on and stay with us for a couple more minutes?
Yeah, fine. That's fine to see.
All right, thanks, guys. When we come back, we'll be joined by Eric Jones again, if you're listening to
Speed Talk.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Got Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf with us. Go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there. Catch all the shows, whatever you want to do. Look at some pictures and You know, Tom's on the
Instagram.
Instagram.
Speed snap this.
There you go. Kenny at Twitter.
I'm on Instagram at KennyBar52.
No, you're on Twitter.
Yeah, but I'm on Twitter at KennyBar52.
Oh, my.
Where am I? Yeah, KennyBar52.
Radio Speed Talk 2 here, the number 2, not TWO. And we're going to finish up with it's still joined by Eric Jones, again, the 16-year-old driver that did a tremendous job at Martinsville and getting ready to run some Rockingham. So what's going on? What's your schedule like now there, Eric?
What was the question there? Sorry, I missed that.
I got him confused over that mid.
You got him all messed up. We didn't realize we were back. Yeah, I apologize, Eric. I was just asking what's your schedule going to be looking like this weekend? What, you know, qualifying practices, runs, and all that.
Oh, yeah, I got you. We're going to be heading down to Rockingham. I'll probably head down Friday so I can check out the racetrack on Friday. They got some UARA late model practice runs, so I'll be able to watch them run around there because never seen the place before, so that'll be good. And Saturday we got like 2.5 hours of practice and a rookie meeting in the morning, a few appearances, and then Sunday qualify. We don't have any practice, just qualifying race, and hopefully we can have a solid 200 laps.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I can tell you that, and I'm looking forward to just following your career because you, again, as Kenny said, you just done a tremendous job and drive way past your years. Because I know I wouldn't have the patience that you got.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Tom, you got any questions for Eric?
No, you guys are covering it pretty good. You know.
Kidding.
I got one. I saw on following some of your Twitter feeds and your PR person, who's a friend of the show, that you did a couple spots for Fox and NASCAR. Was that your first time in front of a camera, and how did that go?
Yeah, it was. That was really the first time I've done something like that for TV. Really where I was kind of, you know, acting, as you could say. And it was different. Like I said, I've never done anything like that before, but it went well, I thought. They had a lot of cool stuff there, don't get me wrong. They had this little helicopter. This was the coolest thing. I stood in the middle of all these tires, and they had this helicopter to go fly up in the air and then fly right over my head and get, you know, like a close-up shot and fly right behind me. So that was pretty cool.
Wow. Not like a drone or anything, I hope.
I was a little worried the first it was, but he wasn't firing any rockets at me or nothing. So
that's a good thing.
Well, it sounds like you're having a good time, but when are they going to get your picture up on the NASCAR site?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to talk to NASCAR about that one.
Yeah, I think I might have to because I was, you know, looking through the lineups the other day and noticed that you're a shadow on there.
Yeah, he moves a couple of big names here down at the Rock. He'll get it on there pretty quick.
Yes, he will. Well, Eric, I got to ask you, man. You got to be a popular guy. You know, you're young. How many marriage proposals have you had over the past couple of years?
No marriage proposals yet. That's a long ways down the road right now. That's the least thing I'm probably working on right now. So really, really working on racing at the moment.
But don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to do that. I just figured, you know, a nice, you know, young guy like you, you know, making your name in the big racing world. I just figured you got picked on. That's all. No,
I
please
don't. I know what you mean.
Okay, all right. Well, the way you said it, you was like, you know, I thought maybe you thought I was trying to marry you up. But
I think you caught him off guard.
Yeah,
man.
I did. I know.
He is still 16.
I know.
Senior in high school. I don't know where he's at.
Well, Eric, why don't you? You know, I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate you spending all the time you have with us. Why don't you tell the fans where they can find your work, or you know, websites, Twitter, any and all of that.
Yeah, we have a website, ericjonesracing.com. Twitter is at Eric_Jones. Facebook page, Eric Jones Racing. That's pretty much it for that. But looking forward to Rocky Camp this weekend on Sunday and taking our number 51 Toyota Tundra down there. And looking forward to having another strong run. Hopefully we can get up in the top 10, maybe in the top 5 again. Just thank you guys for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Hey, man, anytime, and, you know, we'll talk to you after every race or, you know, through the racing season. Doesn't matter to me. But one more question for you, and then we'll let you go. Are you going to be around the Midwest much, or are you going to be, like, Winchester or any places like that anytime soon?
Yeah, hopefully I can get out there in the late model. As soon as I can, I'd like to really run Labor Day if I'm not doing anything. But we'll just have to see how that works out.
All right, Eric Jones, again, driver of the 51 Cowbush Motorsports truck last week and this week, and at least three other races, maybe four. And again, Eric, I appreciate you joining us, man, and look forward to watching you some more and talking to you some more throughout the year.
All right, thank you guys for having me on.
All right, thanks, man. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Eric. Have a great day, man.
Well, there you go, man. You can say what you want about the kid. Once you start talking to him, you just can't stop. You know, I mean, he's a smart kid. And, you know, I remember the first time you and I saw him in a car was Winchester.
Yep, I ran over and talked to, I can't call it my secret weapon anymore. My big brother said, is this kid for real? And his eyes got great big. And he goes, oh, yeah, you need to get to know him.
He did. And then we was up in the tower watching the race, and he just checked out. Just blew by the field, and he was out. And he looked at us, and did he or did he not say, the race is over?
Yep.
And that was, what, 5-6 laps into it? But then, unfortunately, he broke his rear end, and he, you know, went out. But
When we went to Toledo to the ARCA race last year, he was doing well there and holding his own until he got wrecked late in that race, too. So.
Yeah, that was a big, big, bold move, and I don't remember who it was, but he got popped out. But you know what? We'll just follow that into the Camping World Truck Series race. Won by Johnny Sauter. Matt Crafton took second. Jeb Burton, man, I've got to tell you, we have five rookies. Jeb Burton finished third. Darrell Wallace, or Bubba, whatever you want to call him, Jr., was fifth. Chase Elliott, sixth. Ryan Sieg was eighth. And Eric Jones was ninth. And I got to tell you, man, and Jones did get up to fourth at one time.
The youngsters made – I forgot about the Burton kid, but the youngsters made a very, very, very good showing down there. I was impressed with all three of the ones I was watching.
Well, I know Jeb Burton, you know, about a quarter of the race made enemies of Ron Hornaday pretty quick. he did a tremendous job, led most of the race. He just lost it towards the end. He was losing his handling. You could see his tires were giving out on him. And Johnny Sauter, as far as I'm concerned, he was just blowing right through people, literally turning them everywhere. So,
that's how you win at Martinsville.
Yep. Well, I know. Don't get me
bump
wrong.
Bump and run or bump and squeeze or bump and spin or just you bump.
Bump.
You bump.
There
Dude
was a
bump.
Lot of bumping going on. We'll flip that over into, since we got about 5.5 minutes here.
I don't think he likes us dancing here in the studio.
I don't think he does either.
No, I don't mind either. We're just on a you know, time frame here.
I got control. We can go a long time if you want to.
We could, yes. All right, NASCAR race, again, disappointed. All smoke, no go. Although, I still want to know what happened between Harvick and Vickers at the end, because I know that Harvick was awful ticked off. But Jimmy Johnson dominates 346 laps, and he got lucky by winning this race. And let me explain that. Jeff Gordon was coming on. If they wouldn't have had that late caution,
right.
Jeff Gordon's car was just zooming on long runs. He couldn't do nothing on the short run, and he was, maybe a half a second behind him?
Yeah, at that point. I think so, yeah.
But he was on the move. He was coming.
Yeah, he was coming through.
That caution was the worst thing that Gordon could have caught at the time and stuff, and the announcers pegged it just right. Good one, Tommy. Dump water all over yourself. Good job. But, Gordon could have got him, no doubt about it. And I have an opinion on the Harvick-Vickers thing. I would bet you that Vickers' car didn't have a straight panel on it all day, and I think, you know, 8 or 9 levels of bear bond all over the thing. I bet you they had a little incident together earlier in the race, and after watching Vickers squeeze Danica out there at the very last lap, Harvick just said, you know what, I am either going to send a message, I've just had enough of this crap, let's just pop him a couple times and let him know that a lot of people have seen that, and you don't need to drive that way.
Well, I mean, he was part of the 10-car pileup. I mean, somebody slowed down. I think it was Jimmy slowed down on a restart, and they all ran into each other. Mark Martin had a heck of a time with that 11 car, but he finished his 10th.
Yeah. He even took it off from the pit stall with the left front tire not bolted on.
Yes.
And still finished in the top 10 or 11. That was an excellent job. And we knew Mark Martin was going to do a good job with that anyway. That doesn't surprise anybody. But after the weird stuff in pits, the fact that he finished that high, probably just, you know, back to speaking volumes of Mark Martin and his abilities.
Well, and Marcus Ambrose finished second. He was part of that 10-car little bang-up, and his car was all the crap for a while there. He finishes eighth. And then Vickers, like you said, he didn't even have a couple of panels by the end of the race. But
well, he'd popped Danica earlier, remember, and sent her up into Dale Jr. and looped it around. So you got to wonder, I don't know where Harvick was at that time, if he was behind it and saw that happen too. And then at the end of the race, like you said, he'd had enough. And
well, he banged. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, if Harvick just decided, let's go spin somebody around. But, you know, At least we got to see one good anger fit instead of the buildup that we, you know, we had this big buildup with all the payback and everything was going to happen and Martinsville's the place and nobody did any payback. So
well it's coming. Just be patient. Yeah. It's all, you know, just write her down or get your elephant memory out or whatever it takes to remember all that stuff because it's a coming.
Yeah, there was some pretty good comments made in an article over the weekend, but we're not going to have time to go into that, talking about blocking. It was Jimmy Johnson and all that. And he said, you know, everybody will block. He said, but the one thing, the key here is you got to remember who you're blocking.
So. Yeah, the guy behind you. Who cares?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, like that old intro. That old intro on Cannonball Run. That old movie, that French guy goes, what's behind me? It does not matter. And he steps rear mirror out of the car and slings her out the window. It don't matter who's behind you, as long as he stays behind you.
Well, we got about 2 minutes here. We're going to go over a couple other things here talking about the race. But I don't know, did you guys catch the first incident with Kurt Busch where he blew a tire? And did you hear the audio shortly thereafter?
I didn't. No, I wouldn't guess. I wasn't paying attention to it.
I just happened to catch it by accident. But he went back to the crew and he goes, you know whose fault that was? And they're like, who? He goes, the 22. I'm thinking, here we go.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that. Sure.
Here we go. But you know what? Say what you want. I gained a lot of respect for Danica Patrick this race.
She did very well.
She did very well. And she also had probably the cleanest car out there until Vickers and her, you know, kind of bump, but she still really didn't do that bad.
So, no, she had to go to the back of the pack. Didn't they change a motor or something?
Yep.
She had to go to the back of the pack, and she came from two laps down twice.
And she had a good race.
Yes,
that's good.
Yeah,
you know,
I was really impressed. So,
did either one of you guys get the link I sent you about the guy who does NASCAR cartoons?
Yes.
Did you see the one about Danica and the learning curve?
I did not see that
one.
Oh,
it's great. It's a typical, and it's true. And she's about a third of the way through this thing, I think, already. But it's a picture of Danica, and then it says that the caption is NASCAR learning curve. It's got a road to go straight up, and then it twists and turns. And it's like a 10 times worse than any roller coaster you ever saw. And she's in the car and says, bring it on. Well, she's up over the hill and around that first big old bend already, and she's starting to figure this thing out.
Right.
I hope so. I really.
She's a good racer.
Well, we'll see. I was predicting doom and gloom at the first of the year, but. You know, she's had a good race at Daytona, three Kirby races or four Kirby races, and a decent one at Martinsville. So we'll see. I don't wish ill on anybody, but I just don't think she's going to get it done. But
yeah, she just.
We'll see.
I think. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We'll see.
I think she just. I don't know. She's got to figure out something with the mile and a half tracks. I mean, because you get the super speedway, the short track. Most people can run that, but you got to admit she did a pretty dang good job for never been at Martinsville.
Sure.
You know, because we've seen her at the dirt track. She had a heck of a time, never taking any time there. All right, folks, we need to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we got Do You Know, and we'll talk hopefully a little bit about what's going on at Lucas Oil. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Go fast, I'm gonna make that pass.
welcome back to Speed Talk. Man, I'll tell you what, this is going way fast. I love it that way, though. Talking about a lot of stuff. Go to RadioSpeedTalk.com and check out all shows. You can check out your local listings or whatever you want to call it. And again, you know, give us some comments. Tell us what you want. Tell us what you like. You know, just have a good time, man, because we're having a good time here. Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. And Tom, I'm
Instagram, Speed, Snap, this, Cliff, write it down.
You know what? You guys were supposed to write me an intro this week. I just remembered that. Where is it?
We're going to write you an intro? Yeah. I'll write you an intro. You probably won't use
that's
it.
What, that's exactly why you said it last week.
I'll write you an intro.
I'll write you an intro because I
did. Betsy, you'll get
Speaking
it.
Speaking of which, Kenny Barr, where are you at on Twitter?
I'm busy writing an intro. That's what I'm doing. Twitter, Kenny Barr 52.
All right, I'm at Radio Speed Talk number 2, not TWO. All right, we've got a lot of stuff accomplished so far, Kenny. You got me intrigued, man. I am so looking forward to this Do You Know segment.
This week's Do You Know is brought to you by, again, our friends at... You, go ahead. Wish for Our Heroes. That's a cue. That's a radio cue. When I point at you, you say something, see?
You're supposed to write that down on a card for
you know
me.
What? Yeah, sir. Sure, I could do it by the head. You got to have a little card for Wish for Our Heroes.
Wow. Jeff Wells and the boys, based out in Indianapolis, do some great things for some... military families, active military families, by the way. The more I'm into the veterans thing, the more I find that there's gaps in the system, and boy, oh boy, there's lots of things we can do. But Jeff and the guys do a great job with the active families that run into a hitch to get along, so to speak, a little bump in the road of life. Check out their website. They don't want your money. They just want your belief. Wishforourheroes.org, and thanks to Jeff Wells and the gang for putting up with us and sponsoring us through this season of Do You Know. Now, do you know, gentlemen, one of the most curious periods in the history of racetracks, to me at least, was the board track era. And it ran from as early as 1894, and there's some evidence that a board bicycle race was held in New York City as late as 1949.
Wow.
Why wooden boards, you ask?
Why wooden boards, Ken?
Very good. That's good.
I got the radio. Yeah, I picked up that radio cue this time.
Well, we got to stop putting behind the board, man. His head's getting big. He's got this all down. Cool.
Yeah, asphalt. Simple. It's pretty simple, really. Asphalt just wasn't perfected yet.
Right.
You know, and horse track owners disliked cars on their surface, and cars didn't like racing on horse track surfaces. I mean, cars tore up the horse tracks and put big grooves in it, put big chuck holes in it. That would, you know, you get a horse to step in a chuck hole, and you put he goes to the glue factory, basically. And then the dust. What? They do. They shoot him, put him in the glue factory.
That's Kenny Barr.
Kenny Barr. Oh,
Heard about the PETA people coming after me?
It's Kenny Barr at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
People eating tasty animals. But anyway, and then, you know, the horse tracks, the fans couldn't see the cars. You know, you raise so much dust and cane, and it really wasn't a good mix at all. So they couldn't really figure out a way to get around that. Carl Fisher in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway solved the problem, but they only used 3 million 10-pound bricks
right
to do the speedway, and that was the only track in the country ever done that way, I found out.
Really?
Yep. And then another track in Minnesota paved a 2-mile course with concrete, but that was extremely expensive.
Wow.
A California engineer named Fred Moskovitz, yes, Moscovics, was an avid bicycle race fan, and he went to as many bicycle races as he could, and he got the idea to build an oversized board track for cars and motorcycles. They'd be smooth, dust-free, fast, and at the time, pretty cheap to build compared to, you know, other methods tried now. Now, you've seen these bicycle tracks at the Olympics, right? Well, that's what those old board tracks used to look like back then, too, so
okay.
You get kind of a picture of what these things look like. So old Moskovitz got together with a racetrack designer named Jack Prince, and they built a small number of these wood tracks, mostly for motorcycle racing to start with, at all sorts of places across the country. Los Angeles, Chicago, Springfield, Massachusetts, a place called the Patterson Velodrome in New Jersey, who held the first known motorcycle race back in 1908. It was a 6-mile banked wood track. Other sites they had was Atlanta, Detroit, Omaha, Nebraska, South Orange, New Jersey, and Salt Lake City, Utah. So they were all over the country at the time. These board tracks, this is where it gets real interesting to me, and I think you'll like this part too, Tom. The board tracks were built similar to basic bridge construction, built from the ground up on pilings, and once the underpinnings were ready, the track surface obviously was put on there, But the surfaces were made of either 2x4s, 2x6s, or 2x8s laid on their edge.
Okay.
Can you imagine how many boards
it
would take? It's similar to how a bowling alley's made.
Right.
24 of these things were built across the country for cars ranging from a half mile to 2 miles in length.
Wow.
2 miles.
Two miles.
They say the board track era ran for about 21 years, but there's evidence that board racing took place in a much broader span of time, like 55 years. So,
wow.
Next week we'll talk about some of the larger tracks, their locations, a wild demise of one of the tracks, and some famous names that you never knew who spent some time on the wood. So board track racing era, I'm learning. The more I learn about it, the more interesting it gets, and we'll learn more about it in the next week or two.
Well, I know you've been talking about that for a while, and it kind of got my interest up, and I haven't done any research on it, but I appreciate you doing that. But as a guy that works on cars and stuff like that, even if the boards were up on end, wouldn't that, especially for motorcycles, wouldn't that be kind of dangerous?
Oh, yeah. Sure. But these things, sometimes, they call them motor drones, nicknamed murder drones, because a lot of guys got hurt and killed on them. They were not the safest things at all. And there's a...
What type of wood did you find out what type of wood that they predominantly used? Or?
Untreated, which is one of the reasons they didn't last that long.
Ouch.
You know, they'll be curious. Somebody wrote an article and said they'd really be curious if they could build one now and see how long it would last with treated lumber.
Right.
Because they were obviously subject to the weather and cracking and warping and all sorts of different things. Well, and I got to look up the famous racer. I'll give up one funny today. Who was it? I have to look that up too. But they asked him what the strangest thing he ever saw board racing, and he said, "I was coming around the corner, and there was the head of a man poking his head out of the racetrack because he was underneath the track fixing a hole that had popped up during the course of the race." He goes, "I go sailing into the corner, I look down, there's this guy's head laying there."
Well, you know, you talk about weather and untreated lumber. You know, from my other life, with all the bug activity and stuff, and that'd be kind of freaky.
Yep, could very well be.
And think about, if you have an incident like, the demise of Kurt Busch's car this weekend with all that fuel pouring out of it.
Oh,
how many of them went up in flames?
Well, that's part of what you're going to learn about a little bit next week, although it's a little bit bigger than a fire. It's kind of
I guess we're getting a little bit...
No, absolutely. There, that's part of what Do You Know is about, is asking questions. And I have a little sidebar. Also in my research, I discovered, we talked about old racetracks with Steve Sr. last week.
Right.
There were two in the area that we missed. But we're going to take a personal mulligan on them because they both were around before we were even born. There was a little quarter-mile dirt track oval up near Cherubusco. It's called the Columbia City Speedway. It was in between Columbia City and Busco up there. It was a quarter-mile dirt, and it ran from 1950 to 1953.
Wow.
Clem's Lake, we talked about, ran from 1950 to 1952. So 52 and 53 seasons, excuse me. That was a little quarter-mile dirt down at the Gator by the lake out there. And the one that really blew me away, and this you'll find interesting, are you an old-time baseball aficionado here in our area?
Yes.
Like the Kikiangas and the nines that used to come around and stuff, and they'd scheduled nines from the area. Do you remember League Park? Have you ever heard of League Park?
I have heard of it, but I don't remember where it's at.
It's a baseball park located what is now just west of Headwaters Park.
Okay.
Actually, across the street from Clinton Street.
Okay.
You could throw a snowball from where I live to this place. They raced midgets around League Park three times in 1935.
No kidding.
Yes,
wow.
In June of 1935. It was a little fifth-mile oval around the baseball diamond and stuff there.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of history in Fort Wayne.
Right.
People don't realize what's going on, especially in sports, but racing. I wonder if there's ever been a track that didn't last a whole season.
Mm-hmm. League Park ran three races, and that was all they had.
I guess
a whole bunch of them that, and as I learn and research and dig, because I found some really neat resources for this, obviously I wouldn't come up with this kind of stuff. There's some that ran only one or two races and didn't work. There's one board track that I think didn't get a runner race, and that's one of the stories I'll share with you next week.
Man, I can't wait to hear that one. That sounds interesting. All right, folks. We got just like 3 minutes here, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on this weekend down at Lucas Oil Raceway. And I'm telling you what, I love this track. I always have. And you know, Tom, you and I, we could talk because we got real close to the
sure.
wall until the guys came around. So, you know, Tom got some good shots down there a couple years ago when Nationwide and the Truck Series were there for the last year. But always a good place to go. Brought up in 1958. And one of the crazy things was is I didn't realize that this was originally built as a road course.
Yeah, isn't that a bummer? Just a heck of a way to think about it. The drag strip was an afterthought. And the oval track was built, quote, across the street. And, of course, she was dirt at the time. Anthony Joseph won the first dirt track race. And I think Fred Lorenzen won the first one when it was paved.
Well, I tell you what, at least they were smart enough to put a
yeah.
a short track in there, right?
Yeah, and you got the facility, you got the stands, you got everything there. I mean, it's otherwise it's either just an extra big parking lot that you're never going to fill. It was a good idea, and they put on an awful lot of good shows there. I'm guessing it was a part of that. Oh, Thursday Night Thunder was on ESPN from Winchester, and I forget what they called the racing when they had it broadcast at the time in Indianapolis Raceway Park. It was Sprints and Midgets.
Right.
And I remember seeing the fuel storage tanks that are across the way on the east side of the racetrack. Used to say Clark on them all the time. It was a storage facility for Clark Fuel. And those tanks are still there and stuff. That racetrack is just, they put on a heck of a good show when the Nationwide cars were there. We were blessed to go down there
yeah.
for that last show. And that was, all three of us were heartbroken.
Yes.
Or all four of us, I guess, at the time were heartbroken because gosh, this was, they're going to take this away from this place.
I'd like to see them at least get the trucks back in there.
Well, I'm sure they're working on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're working on it.
That was one of the things Scott talked to us about last time we spoke about that is it's possibly 2014 was the shoot date for that. But anyway, this Sunday we're all going to be down there, so if you're there, look for the radio Speed Talk and the Speed Talk crew. But they got a great race going on. They got a 150-lap feature. They're going to have the top speed CRAs, the street stocks modified, and it's going to be a great race. I'm looking forward to it. I made a lot of friends with these guys last year, and I'm just looking forward to having a good time down there.
I hope that's 150 laps altogether, feature races. Otherwise, I got to do some more research.
Yeah, it's 150 laps of feature racing.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Good. I'm panicking. Now. Oh, wait a
minute. It's not 150 lap feature. My bad. My bad.
Well, they got, what, three, maybe four divisions going to be down there?
You got late model sportsmen, the modifieds, the top speed modifieds, and then you've got four-wheel drive compacts and street stocks. So,
good.
So, yeah, we got four good ones. And like I said, you got to check out the track. You've never been there. It's pretty awesome. If you happen to see us, stop by, say hi, smack us up the side of the head, whatever you want to do. RadioSpeedTalk.com for Tom. I love Kenny Barr and Cliff Tanner. We got to get out of here. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.